The entrance of your word brings light and understanding, even to the simple. Inspire us through the speaking, hearing, and obedience to your word. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let me join the boys and girls to say Happy Father's Day. All right. Now, she's now interpreting for me. All right, to all of us, and worldwide, it is being marked today. We are in our journey, and today we are considering kindness as fruit of the Spirit. Now remember, we've consistently said, in keeping with the Bible, that it is not fruits, it is fruit. And for me, that is the most challenging aspect of running this series. That we are not talking about fruits. We are talking about fruit of the Spirit. There's so much interconnection that you cannot possibly separate any of these, any of the fruit from the other. They come in one pack. Now, boys and girls, grandparents, can I ask you if you could recall an incident when someone was especially kind to you, and how that made you feel? I wish I had all the time. Maybe I would have asked for volunteers to share their stories. Maybe something you still remember, a time in your life when somebody was especially kind to you. How many times in your life have you felt discouraged or felt like everything was against you, only to be met by someone who was willing to show kindness to you? Are you able to remember any of such moments in your life? Perhaps within Scotland or beyond, or maybe sometime when you were on holidays. And for me, I will always remember, you know, coming to St. John's to preach as a soul nominee and not having a suit to wear, and not having shoes to wear, not having gown. And I came with two collars in my briefcase, in my luggage. I came with two clerical shirts, so that in case anyone, any of them, in case at the time I'm wearing it, something happens, at least I'll have another one to wear. I always remember that, I mean, the remaining part of my life. And then suddenly, I had three suits to select from, and I had shoes. That's just amazing. Can you remember any of such moments in your life? Now, the fifth fruit of the Spirit, as was read to us this morning, is kindness. And then kindness is a language that both the deaf, the dumb, and even the blind are able to see. They can be touched by acts of kindness. And there's this story about a mother who once asked her six-year-old son what loving kindness meant. And you can't guess the response from this son. The son said, "Well, when I asked you for a piece of bread and butter, and you give it to me, that is kindness. But when you put jam on it, that is loving kindness." You know, so loving kindness is when I ask for bread and butter and you give it to me. And then in addition to that, if you add jam, you know, then that is loving kindness. So even children understand what kindness is. Kindness is a compassionate disposition or a warm good will towards others. It is not a false sentimental attitude, but a supernatural virtue endowed by the Holy Spirit, which stimulates within us a warm goodwill towards others. And so to speak of an unkind Christian is almost a contradiction. It is, in fact, in the early days of Christianity, Kindness was often used as synonymous to Christian. And so they would speak of the kind people. In speaking that way, they were referring to Christians. And so it is almost a contradiction to speak of a Christian who is unkind. In 2 Samuel, where we read a story of Mephibosheth. And I saw a lot of us laugh at the time when the name was mentioned. It's one of those names that when you want to mention, you have to breathe. You have to rehearse it over time before you can say it. Now, after Saul died, David became the king, and he sought for any surviving member of Saul's family. He was informed that Saul had a grandson named Mephibosheth, who was lame. Mephibosheth was invited by David to his palace. Imagine how fearful he felt. But David did not intend to kill him. Instead, he was going to show him kindness. So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons all the days of his life. David's treatment of Mephibosheth, an undeserving member of Saul's family, and Saul, of course, was after David's life at several moments. It reminds us of how God treats us, the unconditional love, the kindness of God towards us. Jesus came into an unkind world where there were no hospitals or charities, but he showed great kindness to everyone, including society's rejects. At the cross, he demonstrated the ultimate cost of kindness, and in so doing, changed the world for all time. We don't do kindness, we don't perform acts of kindness on basis of racial, social, or ethnic considerations. We show kindness in the same way that Jesus has shown us kindness by dying on the cross of Calvary, rising again for our sake. Our kindness should also be concerned about the spiritual life of people. So that you don't just give people money, you are also praying for them, you are also standing on the gap for them, desiring for a transformation of their lives. Kindness implies caring. It means being tender-hearted and compassionate towards others. And there's this story, moving story, and of course we'll be hearing more about that during the soup lunch, which I really encourage you to be part of this afternoon. A story about Alana Wall. A story about Alana Wall, who was born in 2000, in the year 2000, and who lives in Dayton, Ohio. She's the founder and chief executive of Polished Gears. When she was 8, you can look that up on the website. When she was 8, she wanted to do something to make a difference. In fact, on the website, what they have there is that anyone can make a difference. So you don't need to grow old, maybe retire from work before. You can be a part of the transformation of society. We can make that part and parcel of our work life. And so at the age of 8, she decided to make headscarf for every child who was diagnosed of cancer. But her granny spoke to her and encouraged her to rather think of polishing the nails of cancer patients. And so she got excited about that. And when she was 10, she started polishing the nails. It looks very irrelevant or very common. But she undertook it when she was 10, and what she was doing was polishing the nails of cancer patients and special needs children. And today, she is the chief executive of what is considered to be a nationwide charity in the U.S., Polished Gears. Anyone can make a difference. We must make it our goal to be actively looking for opportunities to show kindness. Whenever we see one, and I say this to our children too, to boys and girls, to everyone here this morning, when you see one, don't hesitate, don't wait. Because the opportunity may be gone so quickly. You need to step out and do something. By exhibiting kindness to another person, we are affirming their worth as a person. We are telling them that they are important enough to receive our time and our attention. Someone told me a few years ago in Edinburgh that it is easier in our own time for people to give money but not to give their time. And time, of course, is said to be money. Our motive for charitable deeds should not only be to impress people, maybe to show off. The greatest reward from God comes when our acts of kindness are done humbly and with Christian love. And as with every other thing, practice makes perfect. As families, as individuals, we need to create opportunities to practice kindness. We have the food bank, we have charity, we have choices, we have so many things happening around us here, and today we'll be hearing about Bethany, a charity I've also been part of in the past few years of my life, and seeing the incredible things they do with homelessness. There are so many opportunities. I would like to close with the words of Mother Teresa. We know Mother Teresa very well. Let no one come to you without living better and happier. Be the living expression of God's kindness. Kindness in your face. Kindness in your eyes. And kindness in your smile. Amen. May God help us.